Joseph wants to see Benjamin, and that's the main thing. All the brothers come to Egypt to get food. Jacob's dad doesn't want Benjamin to go because he doesn't want to lose Benjamin. He feels like he's already lost Joseph. And Joseph and Benjamin are his only children from Rachel. And that Rachel was the one he wanted to marry to begin with. And so he doesn't allow Benjamin to go to Egypt with the brothers because he doesn't trust his sons that way. And so they show up, and Joseph happens to be the governor. He happens to be overseeing all the matters in Egypt, and particularly the matters regarding the famine and how to distribute food in this time and save the world. And when he sees the brothers, he doesn't see Benjamin, and so that alarms him. And he's concerned he doesn't see Benjamin with him. So he tells him in a secretive sort of way, because he doesn't let the brothers know that, he doesn't let them know who he is, but asks some questions about him, knowing the answers, but he asks some questions and then tells them that if they don't bring back their little brother to Egypt, he's not going to give them any more food. And so, so that's what's happened so far. And now you're at a point where the famine has become significantly worse. I mean, I can't imagine a 7-year famine. That's terrible. Man, that would be bad. But then, I mean, can you imagine trying to store food for 7 years? You know, just for your family. They got to have people working to preserve that stuff from worms and just, I mean, that's what an oversight, what a task. Do what? Tupperware. Jacob goes to Pharaoh, I have an idea, we need Tupperware. Oh man, that's good. All right. Well, so that's what's happened. Now the famine has gotten significantly worse, and the boys are going to go back to Egypt, and this time they are going to take Benjamin with them. And Jacob is not happy about that, but he doesn't see any other way to do this. So in Genesis 43, Judah will offer himself as a ransom. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But we'll read a few verses here. I don't want to read the whole chapter. I just want to give you kind of what's going on. And the 3 points in this sermon, I titled it, It's About Benjamin. And you'll see in this, number one, a ransom for Benjamin. You'll see, number two, what the brothers confused the issue with. They thought it was about money. And that's a typical worldly understanding of life and things. But you'll see that they think the issue with Joseph is money. And that's not it. It's about Benjamin. And then when Joseph sees Benjamin, there's rejoicing. And he really, through all of this, Benjamin represents a lost soul that has been found. And that's sort of one way of seeing this whole chapter. But let's read a couple verses to get our bearings. In Genesis chapter 43, verse 1, it says, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, the man is Joseph, saying, "You shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy the food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down, for the man said unto us, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.'" And Israel said, that's Jacob, "Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother?" And they said, "The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, 'Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother?' And we told him according to the tenor of these words, and could we certainly know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" So Jacob is mad at them for even telling Joseph. And he doesn't know this is Joseph yet. He just knows this is the governor in Egypt. And Jacob is mad that the brothers told this governor that there was another son. And the boys, the brothers say, "Well, we didn't know he was going to tell us to bring him. He just asked us what our family looked like, and we told him we had no idea who was going to say and demand that we bring Benjamin with us." And so that's what they say to Jacob. And verse 8, "And Judah said unto Israel, his father, 'Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we, and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him.'" That's like insurance. "I will be surety for him. 'Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever.'" This is going to be the beginning of Judah offering himself as a ransom for Benjamin and becoming the tribe from which Jesus Christ would come, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We've talked about that before. We'll talk a little bit more about it next week. Verse 10, "For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, 'If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels. Carry down the man a present, little balm, little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds, and take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother, arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved.'" The other brother, by the way, is Simeon. They apparently left Simeon in Egypt the first time. And so he's there. And this deal about the money, just before we pray, I'll say this. The first time the brothers brought money to Joseph, and they paid Joseph and bought food. And when they left, they found that all the money they had paid Joseph, that they had, it had been returned to them. And that was the concern when they got back was, well, it looks like we stole money from him. And so when Jacob says, "Well, take double money this time to make sure, that way you can pay for last time's food and this time, just in case he thinks you stole from him." And so that's Jacob's thinking is, we don't understand why we have money left when we brought money and paid off the governor for food. And now it's like we brought, say, $1,000 to buy food, and we're leaving now, and we have our $1,000, and we don't know where it came from. We don't understand why we still have this money, but it was because Joseph had given them the money back. He wasn't interested in the money. And so, but they don't know that. They just know they're ending up with more money than the money, and looks like they might have been thieves, and so they're concerned about the money issue. But let's pray, because we'll talk about that along with all this other things about Benjamin and Joseph and their relationship and what's lost being found and how that relates to all this. But let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this time together. I do pray that you would help us. Thank you. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for the rain. So it's so needed. Pray you give us more of it. Thank you for good morning, good Sunday morning service. And I really do pray that you'd feed your flock this afternoon and help us with what we need help with. Help us to understand our Bibles and all of the layers of meaning in these chapters and the history and the things that you're concerned with and what you write about. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the first few verses we read, you saw that Judah steps forward and says, I will be the one that if anything happens to Benjamin on this trip, you can exact that back on me. And so Judah is starting to put himself in the position of a ransom, and really he has put himself in the position of a ransom. And so it tells you something about Benjamin's value and really just any lost soul, but the value of Benjamin's life. It's life for life as Judah offers himself a ransom for his brother Benjamin. And like I said, Benjamin, if you think about it in this chapter, one of the ways you can spiritualize this, or really some of the spiritual truths that come out of it, is the way that Benjamin typifies a lost soul, because once he's found and what it costs and all that stuff to get him, it's a great picture of a lost soul who is found in the end. So beginning of the chapter, the whole story, the whole narrative is given to Jacob, and they've run out of food, and so they need to go buy more from Egypt. And Judah explains the situation. Jacob's a little frustrated that they put Benjamin in the middle of all this, and Judah explains, well, we didn't really do that. The governor did that. He's the one that told us that we have to bring Benjamin with us. And so in telling Jacob this, Judah says, look, I will be surety for him. Whatever happens to him, I will give my life for his life. And so you see the ransom side of this. And this really gets fleshed out in the next chapter, which is really neat. But you see the beginnings of it here, where Judah steps up and offers himself a ransom for Benjamin's life. And so that's a neat correlation. The second thing is what we were talking about, money. And this is the typical, oh, it just seems like it's such a normal way of worldly thinking, because in the world, things move with money, and that's the way the world operates. That's the system. With God, things move with righteousness. If you want to think about it that way, the economy of God is about righteousness. He says over there in Proverbs, he says, riches profit not in death, but righteousness. Riches profit not in judgment or something like that, but righteousness delivereth from death. And so in God's economy, it's about righteousness. In the world, it's about money. And so these men, Jacob is he's a business guy, and based on what's happened with the money before, when they came and bought food and then they left with food and more money, these brothers are just, they think this whole setup is going to be about money, particularly as you read on in this chapter and they get before Joseph and they don't know it's Joseph. And then the brothers really start making their case that they're not thieves. They start telling Joseph, we didn't steal anything. We didn't steal anything from you. And Joseph is almost dismissive of it. He's like, no, I know you didn't steal anything, because this isn't about money. It's about your brother. And now he tries to say that without letting go of too much information. But let's look at this. Look in verse 15 about the riches part of this. You saw the ransom with Judah. Now the riches, the worldly misconception about money. And the brothers think this, they're being called before the governor because of this money issue. Look in verse 15. It says, and the men took that present And they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." And the men did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid. So the brothers still don't know this is Joseph, and all they know is they have been called to the governor's house, and they think it's for a bad thing. They think they're getting ready to get in real trouble here. He might have. Yeah, well, he really hides himself well through all of this. Like, he's speaking through interpreters, and he's not letting the brothers deal with him directly. And so he prepares this meal. Verse 18, the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in." See, that's what they think. They think this is about money. That's what they believe. That he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, and our money in full weight. And we have brought it again in our hand, and other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." That's what they think. They think they're being hauled in for money. Their perception of this whole scenario is financial. That's the issue. And I want you to get a hold of this and the parallels and the contrasts. When Jesus Christ, when the Lord say, "No, this is about a soul," and the world says, "No, it's about money." And that's the mentality. The world really believes it's about money. And Joseph, he's almost, like I said, dismissive of it. When he hears this and he hears these guys trying to plead their case with some of Joseph's servants and some of the people that work for Joseph, and he hears the brothers pleading their case, you know, "We got money, we got more money, we brought extra money so we can pay for this food too." Joseph speaks again through them, and he says this in verse 23, and he said, "Peace be to you." Now, this is the head servant here. "Peace be to you, fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money," and he brought Simeon out unto them. All right, so that was the time, like, it was Joseph. And then verse 24, "And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water, they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender, and they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they had heard that they should eat bread there." So it's almost like as these brothers just plead their case about the money that they have and they've brought, that whole thing is just like, "No, this is not," it's like, "No, I know where the money is, and this is not about money." The point is, this is really about Benjamin. That's the whole point. I just want to see Benjamin. And so all the riches and the misconceptions about money go out the door, and it's the typical mistake that the world makes, and the way they understand how things work and how things are supposed to work. And you know, Solomon said it this way about everything under the sun. He says, "Money answereth all things." And in the world system, that's true. That's a true statement. In God's system, that's not a true statement. Money doesn't answer all things in God's system. And so that thought is completely disregarded in this chapter when these brothers make their case. and say, why is it not about money? It's not about money because it's about the soul. It's about Benjamin. That's what it's about. That's what this whole thing is about. And it's interesting. You go to the New Testament and just comparing these things, and I'm really spiritualizing the chapter a lot, but trying to give you the history of it too. But the way the world thinks versus the way God thinks. It says over there in Mark, he says, what if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Remember that verse? He gained the whole world and loses his own soul. And then he says this, and he asks this question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a good question. And when it comes down to it, a man eventually would give everything he has for his own soul. He would be willing to give everything he has for his own soul when it comes down to it. But money doesn't redeem souls. It doesn't take the place of righteousness. But in the world's system, it does. In God's system, it doesn't. And so, and that's good, by the way. That's good that God can't be bought off with money. And so, there's no amount of, you look at it from Joseph's perspective. There is no amount of money that the brothers could have brought to replace Benjamin. It didn't matter what they brought. Joseph had more money than all of them anyway. And it didn't matter what they bring. If they don't bring Benjamin, the money doesn't matter. He just wants to see Benjamin. And that the lost soul is the important thing. The soul that's not there is the important thing. And so after that episode, they all sit down, they eat. And funny thing is, as you read this, Joseph has them arranged at the table from oldest to youngest. And when the boys sit down and look at this arrangement, it's a little bit peculiar. Like, how did he know to put us in this order? But it's like you said, Mary Beth, it's just kind of like, yeah, I know a little more about what's going on than you guys know. So he arranges them from oldest to youngest. And you read in this chapter, they look at the situation. They're like, what is this? how does he know to do this? And then he purposely gives to Benjamin, because he's so excited to see Benjamin, he gives Benjamin five times as much as he gives everybody else. Let's read verse 26. When Joseph came home, they brought him the present. I told you I wasn't going to read the whole chapter, and I'm going to end up reading the whole chapter. I'm going to end up reading the whole thing. When Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He's yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother, of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. I can just imagine what Joseph feels right now. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out, and refrained himself, and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. For that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. See that? He set them all in birth order, and they looked at that thing, and they were just like, what is this? What's going on here? verse 34, he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. The last part of this chapter, you saw the ransom that Judah offered. You see the riches and the confusion with the money that goes on in the chapter and is typical of the world's view of things. And as it relates to lost souls and but now when Joseph sees Benjamin, there is rejoicing. This is what he's been waiting for. This is what he's been waiting for. Joseph, he weeps when he sees Benjamin. He's overjoyed to see his brother alive. He prepares Benjamin a meal and five times the size of the others to celebrate him. And it reminds me of this about a lost soul. And there's that whole chapter in Luke about things that are lost. But it reminds me about things being lost and found and rejoicing in heaven and things like that, where when a soul is found and a soul comes to repentance, and that's what the whole chapter really reminds me of. The relationship of Benjamin to a lost soul, and now he's found, and now there's rejoicing, and it's just this incredible celebration. And you can imagine this going into the next chapter. Now that Benjamin's there in Egypt, Joseph isn't going to want him to go home. He's not going to want him going home. And he's going to try to keep him around. And you'll see that happen in the next chapter. But the point is, the whole chapter, it's all about Benjamin. That's what Joseph is looking for. There was no amount of money that could take the place of Benjamin's life. When Judah offers himself a ransom for Benjamin, Jacob, he's reluctant to do it, but there's just no other way to do it. It's just, if we're going to get food, if we're going to be saved through this thing, then Benjamin's going to have to go. And when Benjamin goes and finally sees Joseph, though he doesn't know who Joseph is yet, but Joseph knows who Benjamin is. And Joseph is rejoicing, so much so that he's got to leave the room. He goes and cries by himself. And then he washes his face, comes back in, eats with all the brothers. And it's a great celebration. And there'll still be the task to bring the food home after this. But the chapter really is, it's about Benjamin. That's who it's about. The ransom, the riches, the rejoicing. The chapter just lays out perfectly, like Benjamin as a lost soul, if you want to make a spiritual application to it. But Joseph in real history and their lives, that's who he wanted to see. He just wanted to see Benjamin, and now he could see him, and he's happy about it. So there's some history. There's a little bit of typology there, but I hope that's helpful. And let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for these words. There's so much history, so many things to pick apart that could be picked apart in this chapter, but I pray that the overview of it was helpful to see what's going on, why it's going on. And thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the rain. I pray you send more of it. And pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.